Father's Day is just around the corner, and the Payoff knows you probably need a gift for those dads in your life. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's a friend's dad. Maybe just someone you call daddy. Or maybe it's for yourself. No matter who it's for, make any dad proud this year and get the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. You heard it right, 4.0. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PAYOFF at manscaped.com. Now you might be asking, the Lawnmower 4.0, it helps with my man garden, but what about that hair everywhere else? That's when we start with the Weed Whacker, one of the best nose hair trimmers on the market, and it's a perfect add-on gift. Maybe you just need a little something extra for dad. It's fine. And so they also have a ton of other products. You got the Crop Mop Ball Wipes, Crop Reviver Ball Toner, and of course, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, and on and on. So don't forget, that is 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. And all you got to do is use that code PAYOFF. And don't forget, you came from your dad's balls. This year, show your original home some love from Manscaped.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world, to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Break the walls down. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. This is The Payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
You know, it's we're getting a little further away from Backlash here. We've got, we're almost to Money in the Bank season at this point. So, overall, though, we got Double or Nothing, though. Just a lot happening in wrestling right now. But before we get
always
there,
a lot happening in wrestling.
I don't know why I say that.
New programming. MLW, I think, signed a deal with Vice.
Yeah, there was that. There's the talk of, we're not sure too if AEW is going to have to move nights because of hockey, which is why they said NXT moved. But we know it was probably because they were just getting ratings, but still, like, yeah, just, you can find wrestling on any day of the week. That's for sure.
Oh God, just too much.
Yep.
Overwhelming.
And then there's always, you can always log into Peacock and find more if you can't get enough. Yeah.
All right. Why are we covering this one?
This one, it's Steamboat, you know, plain and simple. We haven't done a Steamboat match really. This is one where we've got one more Backlash match actually to talk about after this one. One that I'm looking forward to, a little bit of hardcore action in this one. But this is one though, where again, part of it was because of like Jericho and AEW. I wanted to make sure we kind of had a match with him, kind of just to time that. And then again, looking through kind of best backlash matches, this was on the list. And so I didn't really remember it. And so, but huge Ricky the Dragon Steamboat fan. I know one of my first ever wrestling event, I've got like those far away kind of blurry ass photo shots of him wearing the dragon hood and stuff like that. So, no reason not to, pretty much. How about you?
This came out of nowhere. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it really did.
Steamboat. Oh, I mean, didn't the guy have like a career ending back injury 30 years ago? Right. I mean, it was shocking. I mean, like, you know, when you have like a Piper or a Flair, I mean, some of these guys, they still wrestled every once in a while. Steamboat was just gone out of the picture. Snuka wrestled, you know, and it was just, he's going to actually wrestle. And then, as I know you're going to get into at WrestleMania, wait, holy shit, he's in great shape and he looks like better than 90% of the roster in the ring. What's going on here? So you can hear, I am super, super pumped to cover this one. I hope it lives up to the hype because the build was pretty cool for this. There's even some aftermath, and then this match is going to be a lot of fun. So two Hall of Famers going at it, one of whom had been gone forever. I'm pumped to cover it. So, Jeff, let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So, Backlash 2009, again, we're covering these Backlash matches. A lot of good memories from Backlash. This one was April 26, 2009, Providence, Rhode Island, Dunkin' Donuts Center, 8,300 in attendance, buy rate of 182,000. And what's crazy is last week we covered 2002. Jeff, how many buys did that have? 400,000. So
right.
Business is not, you know, at the level it once was in terms of pay-per-view buys. It's interesting to see those massive swings. So on this card, Christian's going to win the ECW championship over Jack Swagger.
Sure.
Okay. Jericho's Steamboat is the second match. Kane is going to defeat CM Punk in 9 minutes. Oh, Jeff nice. Hardy is going to defeat Matt Hardy in an I Quit match. Jeff, you'll remember these two actually wrestled the previous pay-per-view at WrestleMania.
Yep.
That was a massive, massive disappointment. The match just sucked at WrestleMania. You're thinking Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, WrestleMania, and ugh. Santino Marella is going to defeat Beth Phoenix, singles match for the title of Miss WrestleMania. So the thing with Beth Phoenix is we were talking about that briefly last week. Her Icons series was awesome. And I'm no Beth Phoenix fan. I know nothing about her, right? But you watch that and you love it, which again goes back to something you hear me say almost every episode. Why not just present more realism? Her real story is way better than any character or any storyline she ever did in wrestling. The legacy, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Ted DiBiase defeating Batista, Shane McMahon, and Triple H. Can't say I remember this match, but it was a six-man tag team match. The stipulation, Jeff, if Triple H or any member of his team got disqualified, counted out, pinned, or submitted, Orton would win the title. So Orton pins Triple H and becomes champion. How about that? And then
it's a weird stipulation, yeah.
Yeah, and then our main event, Edge defeating John Cena to win the World Heavyweight Championship in a last man standing match. So, Jeff, there's a ton of stuff happening on this show. I kind of want to go back and watch the entire show.
Yeah, it was all over the place. Most of the stuff when I was looking at it, there was fairly decent stars on it, except like, you know, Kane and CM Punk. And then the main event, very high marks. But yeah, it just weird. And this match, too, decent marks as well. So, yeah.
But storyline standpoint, how do we get here?
Yeah, how do we get here? So this was actually, so we're in 2009, but Jericho actually had taken some time off, and then you started to get the Y2J kind of promos running. It was September of 2007. This is, of course, like the cryptic kind of, you know, Walls of Jericho. Like, we weren't sure exactly what it was, but we kind of knew too at the same time. Kind of made sense. You know, and then kind of, you know, referencing Jericho and things like that. But then making his return debut is November 2007. It was actually a really cool kind of promo. I say not even promo. Randy Orton was actually in the ring. He had the belt talking about how, you know, it was time to pass the torch. And then a guy literally running with like an Olympic torch into the arena. He was coming in through the back as Orton was waiting for him in the ring to get there. And then he gets clotheslined, laid out by Jericho, which is how he was debuted. You've got on the screen like the, you know, did you break the code for the code breaker and things like that. And then of course the, you know, which I think one of the better themes, the break the wall down, you know, hitting after the countdown and things like that. So just, you know, if you're have downtime or sometimes over lunch, like just like Google, you know, YouTube, like WWE Jericho returns, and it's just a good like 12 minute video of all the times he's returned. It's just good stuff. So but kind of fast forwarding though a little bit, though, Royal Rumble, January 2009. He was, of course, a Royal Rumble participant, but eliminated by The Undertaker. He then competed in the Elimination Chamber match at No Way Out for the World Heavyweight Championship, but he was eliminated by Rey Mysterio during that one. After this was when we start to get into this storyline a little bit. So No Way Out was February of 2009. He started really feuding with, I say, the legends. You had Ric Flair, Steamboat, Jimmy Snuka, Roddy Piper, and Mickey Rourke as well, too, the actor, which is kind of a weird piece of this where Mickey Rourke was actually announced as going to have a match with Chris Jericho at WrestleMania 25 this April 2009. But a whole lot of stuff behind the scene, like he announced it was like a red carpet for his movie The Wrestler at the time, which had come out, which was a pretty good movie. And you know, he sat on the red carpet and brought it up, and not everybody knew about it at that point. And, you know, it was really weird how it all played out. But pretty much insurance wasn't going to cover him to have the match, but you know, so it ended up turning into, it was a match with Jericho taking on a 3-on-1. It was Piper, Snuka, and Steamboat. Jericho was a handicap match, with Jericho winning that one. But then afterwards, and I went back and watched it, and just a really weird segment, like Mickey Rourke got in the ring, like punched him, he's got like the boxer back. It was just awkward. Like, if I, you know, even just watching it real quick over lunch, it wasn't great. So, but then really quickly after that, really the next week, Jericho was on Raw. He was SmackDown drafted to SmackDown, part of that 2009 draft. Talk about the draft a lot lately, but, yeah. And so having that,
well,
and
that's
so
every year they did it around this time, right? Yeah, right after WrestleMania,
right after Mania, which makes sense. And so
it's a superstar shakeup.
Yeah. Thank you. So, and then so ended up then 2 weeks after that announcing that he was going to have this match with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And so at Backlash. So, but how did Steamboat get involved in this other than him being in this match at WrestleMania? So going back even further, 2005, you actually had Steamboat. He was like a producer. He was, he was part of the Homecoming edition of Raw, which was October 2005. He did some special refereeing matches. Like there was, John Cena, Triple H, Edge. It was at house shows. Even that he was kind of participating in this stuff. He was a special referee. It was a SummerSlam tour, and like it was a special referee between Cena and Edge for the championship. Like there was another one between Cena and Randy Orton in 2007. So he's always just kind of been around, not in the ring, just kind of refereeing and stuff like that. So he was at Vengeance. It was a Night of Champions. He was recognized as just a former Intercontinental Champion and kind of being there. He also made an appearance at one of the many Ric Flair farewells. This one was in 2008, which he was a part of that, which, if you need a ratings pop, just have Rick retire again. So, kind of always have that. And then, appearing though, it was the February 23rd, 2009 edition of Raw. He was named, of course, he was in the Hall of Fame that year, absolutely deserving, winning that one and attacked by Chris Jericho, which kind of led, the feud with these Hall of Famers. And so having that match, and this was the WrestleMania match was his first match in about 15 years. That in both Jimmy Snuka and Roddy Piper were actually eliminated pretty quick, but Steamboat stuck around. He did the crossbody, did like the plancha, like he was in there carrying his own. And because he had such a good match is why we got this match in WWE. So, at Backlash. So, just interesting how it played out. It doesn't need much. If the guy, pretty much the guy can go, let him go. And that's how we got here. Very short build, but he proved himself amongst the others. And so we get this match. And so it just works and makes sense.
Easy enough, man.
Let's watch it and do this, man. I'm ready.
It's a good build. I'm really excited for this one. Great recap as always. We appreciate you walking us through everything that goes into getting to the payoff. So, if you'd like to watch it with us, 23-minute mark of Backlash 2009. Again, that's the 23-minute mark of Backlash 2009. Jeff, what am I going to ask you?
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
It's time for The Payoff.
The Payoff knows Father's Day is rapidly approaching and the weather is heating up no matter where you are. So to make sure you and your dad are smelling nice and staying clean shaved where it matters the most, make sure to get the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 and new refined cologne by Manscaped. That's right, both brand new Lawnmower 4.0 and refined cologne. So use the promo code PAYOFF at manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping. So let's call it out. It's a hot summer day. We got clean shaven balls, but we need to be clean smelling too. And so with that signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne is the perfect add-on to help you out. And what are we looking for? Light. It's not too much. Makes you approachable. We all want that. And what we all like to look for, gentlemanly in all the right ways. So if your old man smelling a little bit funky, maybe you just need to freshen up. This cologne is the surefire way to make sure that you're both the talk of summer. So using the code PAYOFF at manscaped.com, get 20% off plus free shipping.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
Respect. So Jericho in the ring, short hair Jericho. Steamboat. God, I love the tights, man. The old dragon tights. The bald spot doesn't help him, man. It's a little odd, and obviously the physique is that.
Big pop, though. Everybody on their feet popping for him. But
yeah.
The United States tough. And you have to wonder whether or not this is a good idea for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat to be.
There's the bell for you. Here we go.
Jericho
in the corner, Steamboat just kind of staring him down.
So you obviously listen to Jericho on Austin's podcast, right?
Yeah, I listen to Jericho on everything, yeah.
How good is Austin at doing those interviews?
Oh, man. Well, and he has said he loves doing them because it's like once a month, you know, it doesn't require like, you know, travel to do some of the other stuff. Like you just got to get in the studio and do it type thing. So, but you and I know, like it's, you can't just sit down with someone and have an interview. Like it takes time. It takes effort. You got to know what you're doing. So.
Wow. So
Steamboat kind of kicking Jericho out of the ring, flying over the top with the body press there. Yeah. It's just phenomenal. Like it, you know, and not everyone, you know, is great at doing that stuff, but he's got there's nothing that he's not good at, just a natural at doing it and talking to these guys.
So like, let me ask you this. Who's a dream guest on Austin's podcast that he hasn't had yet?
Well, I would have said Jericho before they opened the forbidden door there. Just anyone.
Did CM Punk ever do one?
I don't think Punk did one. I don't remember if Cena did one.
Vince and Shane both did them, but I'd love to see Vince again.
Right.
Stephanie would probably be interesting. Linda would be really interesting.
Just get all the McMahons in there. Yeah, absolutely. And kind of talking to them. I think, you know, obviously he did sit with The Undertaker, so we don't need to worry about that one. But
how good would The Rock be? Just talking about
that. And that's actually who I was going to say is my pick is The Rock. But I don't, you know, it's tough too, because I don't know like how good of an, like we know, he's had such a different career. I'd actually probably like to hear from somebody else. So
Hogan would be good. Hogan and Austin, that'd be a good one.
Yep. So you've got these guys kind of going back and forth. It's a slower pace, but these kind of makes sense. Whoa, boy.
Ricky dragging arm drag, dude.
Big arm drag there.
Incredible.
I guess looking a little winded, but doing okay. Like just kind of wrenching down. I would love to see him probably, you know, do another, it won't happen, but like do like a Kenny Omega or somebody outside of the WWE realm would be interesting too. Even if you get like someone from New Japan, like doing, you know, an Okada or something like that, I think would be really cool. But they've got more than enough content there to keep bringing those to us for the Broken Skull. But big chop now from Dragon, just kind of moving, doing what he does. It's got a lot of running the ropes here. Whoa. Kind of flipping over the ropes, but then flipping right back. Took him a little bit of time, but he got there. A big clothesline taking the Steamboat. or the dragon outside or to the outside of the ring.
Have you watched the Lost Treasure show on A&E?
That's another one too that I'm way behind. I know, man. And so it's just been busy lately. Oh, big drop kick there.
No, back before you were in love, you'd had time for all this stuff.
Seriously, I know.
You've been married a few years. We don't talk to each other.
I need to get to that point. I know.
Once you get to this point, you're back. I mean, I'm basically single.
Well, and we're at the point where we just had we re-signed leases separately so that at the end of our lease term, we will be like together. So, I got till October 22 before my lease and her lease is up. But at that point, we're going to have to make some life decisions here. So, who knows? I might stick around with her. She's pretty nice. So we'll see what happens. But a little bit of an arm drag here, or just kind of a, you know,
I'd stick with her.
Yeah, she's all right. She puts up with me. So yeah, you know, that's half the battle sometimes. So you see kind of Jericho talking to him a little bit too, or, you know, kind of interesting, just these two, you know, kind of, I'm sure they have quite the rapport too, just kind of working. So got him in kind of a back headlock and, you know, trying to work, you know, Jericho has him in a back, kind of a back headlock. We'll see if he kind of works out of it anyway. Steamboat trying to get up here.
Cool. That must have been so cool for those guys to work in front of a big, you know, stadium. I forget which location it was for WrestleMania, but that must have been super cool for them.
Oh yeah, to get that opportunity. Yeah, absolutely. So
not just to wrestle another match, but to do it in front of the biggest crowd you've ever wrestled in front of, you know.
Oh yeah.
15 years after you retire.
Another arm drag from Steamboat and a quick pin.
Steamboat had there's some you know, we'll have to cover, and I think it's probably on our list, but there's some like 93-ish WCW matches with like Steamboat, Rick Rude, Steve Austin, maybe a couple other guys in that mix that are really highly rated. We'll have to go back and try and find one of those.
Yeah, and this is one where, you know, we've got a lot of WWE matches with this one, and we've talked about some of these before, but I know we've got a little known one. It was actually for the NWA World Championship from Chi-Town Rumble in 89. There's some long ones too, which is part of the problem. Like we're not going to cover an hour long match on this show, which Flair and Steamboat have done that multiple times. It was a Wrestle War 89 as well too. Beach Blast 92, which was actually this one would actually be fun to cover. It was a 30-minute Iron Man match between Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, like some of that stuff. There's a lot of really good ones in there.
Yeah, and we forget like just how, I mean, he had this match, you know, taking place in 2009 is 20 years prior to that, like had a huge career, like, you know, of doing what he did and, you know, known for his matches against Ric Flair and things like that. So you got some fans trying to get everybody pumped up, just having a good time. It's always good to see. Again, they've kind of slowed this match down a little bit, which makes sense, but in the kind of terms of telling the story, it works too. So Steamboat kind of reversing a whip there and kind of tossing Jericho into the corner. He's definitely winded. Definitely working solo has got to be tough. Yeah. After that. And again, just trying to chop down Jericho here with some kicks. I can't imagine. And this was recently why Triple H did not have a match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania, which is apparently something that AJ was pushing for.
Pushed him hard for, called him multiple times.
Yeah. And it was saying though that, you know, he just leads a different life now where it's tough for him to, you know, there's one thing to be in ring shape. It's totally different to be in WrestleMania shape, which
watch you were talking about or.
Yeah. And just,
no, that know, was good.
No, that one, that was all right. Yeah. Just kind of a top rope backdrop. Yeah. It looked really good. But yeah, I get that though. Like, you know, he could have gone out there and had a match, but to do it, you know, WrestleMania, like that's asking a lot. I think we will eventually see an AJ Triple H match, especially
I think it was just, hey, this just isn't the year. I mean, Triple H is going to get back in the ring. And yeah, they really didn't really matter this year. They really need it. Probably not. You know where you're probably going to get Triple H. You'll probably get him on one of the Saudi shows.
Yeah. And there are rumors that we're going back there again before the end of the year, which who knows if that's going to actually happen or not. Or
I would,
we're going to get another.
Well, I sent you that, the boxing match, right?
Yeah. You did send me
Fury
that.
Fury and whoever else, they're getting a guaranteed $75 million each. And I'm sure that comes right from the Saudi government, like the WWE money does,
which is insane. Absolutely insane. Oh, yeah. Steamboat getting countered from Jericho again. Ooh, big slam there though. You can tell he's just very winded at this point. but working hard though so far, you know, haven't really seen anything. Oh, big chops now. Yeah, that makes sense. I think they're obviously like they wanted to, push it with the tag team. Like they've got the tag belts as of recording this. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. Dragon's still fighting, kicking out.
Steamboat never, I don't think he was heel for a day in his career. I'm pretty sure he was babyface the entire time.
You're right. Yeah. I'm sure the internet will remind us, but yeah, very rare if it was.
Yeah.
Bulldog there at that point, just kind of taking out Steamboat. Jericho just in control. Yep.
Hey, I got one we haven't talked about yet.
Go for it.
Your boy Meltzer with his comments about Charlotte.
Oh boy. Yeah. That one, she was not pleased. My boy, like he said, going for a small package here. Oh, there we go. Oh, sitting back in the lion tamer. There you go. Yep. That's going to be it. Yeah. Real quick on that. Yeah. He is proving that he is just garbage. Yes. I know we use his star scores. Yes. I know we talk about it on the show here, but
no, I mean, two things can be true. He can have a massive catalog of wrestling information archived, and he can be an asshole.
Which, yes,
And so I think sometimes people that's the botch you were talking about. That was
just a bad figure four. Yeah, it doesn't really get it locked in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you say that?
It's, inappropriate no matter what, but especially like knowing. Like in the form, like whether it's to do it to get a reaction, I don't know why else you would have done it, because it's not like it's not going to get back to her. It's not like she's not going to know. Like it just garbage. And who, like at the end of the day, like who cares? Like she is still like, I want to see her wrestle again. Like I want her back in the ring because she is really good. She should be a heel forever because that's just how she should be as her character. Jericho kind of missing a dive there. Yeah, again, just proving, it makes a ton of news when these people make comments like this and they just absolutely backfire on them. Huge crossbody there from the Dragon. Jericho just barely kicking out.
Dude, I'm digging this, man.
It's picked up again. I thought it was going to end when Jericho kind of had the upper hand there, and then Steamboat just kind of turned it around a little bit, and he's been handling Jericho right now. Great sell. Oh my God.
Really good sell.
A code breaker there is catching Steamboat jumping off the middle rope, and Steamboat selling the hell out of it. Fans looking unhappy. I'm seeing some thumbs down and some booing going on. One, two. Whoa, sneaky.
Jericho thinks he's won, though. Wow.
Foot on the rope.
You know what I was bummed about is that Steamboat's son wasn't able to make it. He got hurt.
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about that in the aftermath. Okay,
He looked like a million bucks, just big dude, chiseled. I was so pumped.
Oh. Yeah. Almost getting nuts. There.
They wanted Steamboat to win that. Oh.
And there you go again. Yep. Got it locked in the submission, and there's the tap. Unfortunately,
oh man, what an effort! I wanted him to win that. All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, initial thoughts, dude.
Have fun. Nothing wrong. That was a solid 12-13 minute match from someone that. Like had not wrestled in a long ass time, but man, like I'm sure Jericho, you know, did a lot to make him look good too. But at the same time, like, you can't just take, you know, cross bodies from, you know, to the outside. You can't just do some of the shit he did and have Jericho cover for him. So it put in work, plain and simple.
Oh, yeah, it was good, man.
Yeah. So as we're kind of let this kind of play out a little bit here, because, and I would recommend kind of leave it on a little bit here for anybody, because you'll see that after the match, like, Steamboat actually just Jericho is leaving, kind of, or he's already up the ramp. The referee is helping Steamboat to his feet. Just standing ovation from the crowd, though. Everyone's on their feet. Everybody's cheering again. I don't know if you still got it on, Tom, if you could put it on, but
I turned it off. So you're going to provide me commentary as well.
So everyone's cheering for
leave him. It on. I don't know why I shut it off.
I always just kind of let it run. I'm halfway through the next match by the time we end up finishing talking, but Steamo getting his moment now, getting cheered on. You can tell he's enjoying it. He got a little bit of a smile on his face. And things like, you know, so yeah, really great to see. Thank you, Steamboat signs, all that stuff, but good stuff. So, so this was, of course, 2009. And then, it wasn't really until almost over a year, really a year and a half later, till he came back. He was actually promoting his new DVD at the time, when that was a thing. Kids, that is a disc that you would put into a player to watch a movie.
I used to buy them all, cause they do like a, you know, they do a 2-disc set and there'd be like a,
yep,
2-hour documentary on Steamboat, and then it would be like his 20 greatest matches, and it'd be $20 at Walmart.
And that's exactly what this DVD was. This was the WWE Ricky Steamboat, the Life Story of the Dragon DVD. So, but came back and was actually attacked by the Nexus on that show. Interesting with this one, though, where they were doing like a storyline injury angle, but it seems like he was actually injured as well. So then they just kind of dropped everything and nothing really came from it. But as Tom alluded to, we did, though, for a little while here, and I can't only imagine like having him here, but he was a trainer and worked talent relations with Triple H in NXT for until his son, Richie Steamboat, getting cut or being released from developmental in WWE. And he was there for a long time. He was in FCW mid-2000. And so he actually, it was his final match where he suffered a back injury. And so he had to have surgery with that. And so, and it released after that fact. And so, unfortunate, but, you know, because of the injury, just, you know, not able to wrestle again. Who knows? Nowadays things might change, but, you know, just unfortunate how that kind of played out for him. So, but Steamboat moving on to be an ambassador as well too for WWE. We know a lot of that we hear about a lot of those guys that go on to kind of do that, which is really cool. And then finally, most recently, we saw him. It was actually the Ric Flair 70th birthday that was ruined. Batista.
That was good. That was a good angle, man.
That was a great angle. Yeah, I had them all there and, you know, things like that. So really good stuff there. But Jericho, on the other hand, he ended up feuding with Intercontinental Champion Rey Mysterio. They had a match with Jericho, lost that one. They had an Extreme Rules match following that, though. There was actually at Extreme Rules, it was a no holds barred match, which Jericho did win. It was actually his 9th Intercontinental Championship. I had forgotten too. And then at the Bash, which was the Great American Bash, kind of the renamed, kind of stylized, ended up losing it back to Mysterio as a mask versus title match. So they just had a little bit of a back and forth and things like that. So, but at this same show, at the Bash, and here we go, it's trivia time again for you, Tom, and it's not in the notes, so you don't get to cheat.
No, I'm not cheating. Let's hear it.
All right, so he never does. I promise. So at the Bash, Jericho and Edge won the unified WWE Tag Team Championship. So it was actually a triple threat match, and they won this. So because of this win, Jericho was the first wrestler to win the original Grand Slam Championship. Now, what is the original Grand Slam Championship? I do have this in the notes where you either had, because I wanted you to be able to see it, that you either needed to win the WWE, WWF Championship and the World Heavyweight, one of those two.
Okay.
One of the tag belts, whether it world, you had to have the Intercontinental belt and then either the European or the hardcore. Okay. Chris Jericho is one of two people, this original set, that won every single one of those belts. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 belts. There have been multiple people that have won Grand Slam. So the question to you is, Chris Jericho won every single one of those belts. Who is the one other wrestler that also won every single one of those belts?
Kurt Angle.
Well, Kurt Angle is a Grand Slam champion. He never won the World Tag Team Championship.
Ooh, okay. So he won the hard. Okay.
He did win the hardcore. He won actually with Benoit. He won the Raw Tag Team Championship. Edge is actually not even a Grand Slam or an original Grand Slam champion. So
let's hear
your original. The other ones, and I'll say it, so Shawn Michaels didn't win the hardcore, but he has it. Triple H didn't win the hardcore, but he has it. Kane didn't win the European. Jericho's the full. Kurt Angle did not win the World Tag Team Champ. Eddie Guerrero didn't win the World Heavyweight or the Tag Team Champ. Rob Van Dam missed out on the World Heavyweight. Booker T's missed out on a few.
Christian?
And so Christian actually missed out on the tag and each one of each of the tag and the world heavyweight. But the only other wrestler to win every single one of these belts is Jeff Hardy.
Wow.
And so most recently, you know, winning, he would have had the world heavyweight in 2009. He actually had the Raw tag team, the belts with Matt Hardy in 2017. So he got the world heavyweight in 2009, didn't end up getting that Raw tag team championship until 2017 with the WrestleMania match. And there's been some other kind of ways they've done the Grand Slam and things like that. But Chris Jericho and Jeff Hardy are your only true original Grand Slam winners, which I a little bit of factoid. I was really surprised when I found that statistic. So, but you had shortly after these guys winning the belts, though, of Edge and Jericho. Edge was injured, but of course, sneaky Jericho here had a clause in his contract that he was allowed to replace Edge as his tag team championship partner, and he could continue to be the champ uninterrupted. He would still have it. So, and the tag team here at Night of Champions revealing that the Big Show was going to be his new tag team partner, creating the tag team Jericho. And so defeating Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase to retain their titles at that Night of Champions pay-per-view. And so they actually had a lot of matches together. They beat Crime Time, MVP and Mark Henry, Rey Mysterio and Batista. They had a triple threat match, the two of them against the Undertaker as well too. Eventually, finally, a TLC, Tables, Ladders and Chairs, losing the titles to D-Generation X, and then getting right into January of 2010, losing a second time to DX for DX to retain their titles over them. So forgot about Jericho. We don't have any other matches on our list, but yeah. So just interesting how that played out. So where do we get here with this, the ratings on this one? I know you want to hear this. So yeah. There was some backstory though, between the WrestleMania and kind of this, you know, how this happened and things like that. And it was actually, I was reading like Greg the Hammer was actually supposed to be one of the people involved here. And
right.
This is actually after Mickey Rourke, backed out.
Mickey Rourke and Jericho.
Yeah. And so, and then they went up the triple threat, but Jericho said, I started thinking maybe we replace somebody. Vince's rules were that the guy had to be in WrestleMania 1 and had to be in the Hall of Fame. These are non-existent rules just in Vince's mind. I suggested taking Greg Valentine out and putting Jerry Lawler in, Vince's rules. So I said, what about Steamboat? He was going into the Hall of Fame that year. So Vince switched it. We did the match and it turned out to be pretty great. And Steamboat was so good that Vince assigned him to be a player coach, and we ended up having 6 or 7 more matches. So like, you know, just how it played out, things like that, you know, Jericho wanted it too. You've got Jericho and PWI coming in at number 2 in 2009. Steamboat, of course, unranked for just having that. And so, And so, and of course, commentary saying during this, was the last time Steamboat competed in a one-on-one match on pay-per-view was 15 years ago at Bash at the Beach when he, quote, battled a guy by the name of Steve Austin for the U.S. title, end quote. So, so what do you got here from PW Torch? The crowd chanted, "You still got it," after a chop and an arm drag into an arm bar. The announcers talked about WrestleMania 3, of course. You're getting 2¾ stars. A good match that both Steamboat and Jericho can be proud of. There were some not so smooth moments, not the least of which was the figure four by Steamboat, but the crowd into it and they told a good story. One of the other write-ups here, the Jericho Steamboat match was simply wonderful to watch unfold. It wasn't a match of the year candidate, but it was good to see, and Steamboat in the ring. It was good to see Steamboat in the ring for the first time in so long. Was a real treat. He took me back to the days of watching him while I was growing up and becoming a fan. So this match will hold a special place in my heart. I'd love to see more of Steamboat if that's in the cards. I feel if he were put in a long-term program, he could deliver an excellent match, which, yeah, I don't disagree with that. So that one, PW Torch ended up giving that one 2¾ stars. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter gave this one 3.5 stars. 411 Mania, I said, I think I might have to go back and watch WrestleMania 2. The Steamer is looking in great shape. Usually it's kind of sad to see old timers making comebacks, but Steamboat was so fast in his prime. His speed nowadays is comparable to some of their main eventers now. Two and a half stars from them. So considering how long he's been out of action, he looked almost up to Jericho's speed. His spots did look like those of a guy who's been retired for a decade, but he was sharper than he had any right to be. So we're a little all over the board, 2.5, 3.5, 3¼, or 2¾. I'll go first. I'll give this one actually a 6.5. Because I agree with the point. He had no reason being as good as he was after that long. And at no point did I think that this guy had been out of the ring for 15 years, which I think is what put me over the edge here of giving it a 6.5 versus 6, because no, there wasn't, you know, yeah, they told maybe a month long story, which is just fine. Didn't need more than that. It would have been great to see more than that, but didn't need more than that. And you know, just to see a classic, you know, Hall of Famer kind of do it and go out there and produce, like, it's good stuff. So 6.5 for me. How about you, Tom?
You know, you read my mind. 6.5. I really liked it. I mean, it's like a really, really good 6.5, right? Like, it's cool. It's awesome to see. I love it. You know, I'm a Legends guy. So, you know, Tully Blanchard is on AEW and he looked every bit of his age, and who gives a shit? Cause it's cool. Right. So yep. I like seeing this stuff. I think it was the second match, the card. It's not like they gave this guy a title run. They didn't put him over Brock Lesnar. They just put him in a really good spot and it was awesome. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And you and I've said it a lot. If you use Legends right, you're going to have magic. And this is one where, you know, no, it doesn't need a super high 10, you know, or anything like that, but it was still entertaining. And like, we got to see Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So how can you complain?
Agreed.
All right. Send him home happy. Final thoughts, Tom?
Loved it. Enjoyed it. Really, really good. Love seeing Steamboat out there. This is a fun match, man. Good pick on your part.
We got one more Backlash hardcore match coming at you next week. So excited for our final Backlash match before we get into Money in the Bank season.
All right. Well, thank you as always for joining us on an all new episode of The Payoff.